Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host for the day, Anthony Wood, and with me today to talk everything offense is the Ross Tucker. Ross, thank you very much for joining me. How are you doing?
Anthony, it is my pleasure. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Thanks very much for coming on. I mean, who better to talk offensive line than a former lineman himself? So, as obviously I mentioned, let's start off with that horrendous offensive line last season. Obviously, they allowed 62 regular season sacks, which was a league high, as we all know. Were there any positives whatsoever to be found in this unit? Do you think there are any players that perhaps got overlooked because of the overall stats?
Well, I think one positive certainly is just the depth they were able to build, right? I mean, they brought in other guys this year who I know we'll talk about, you know, like Sharping and Titus Howard as well as Matt Khalil. But what that does now is let's just assume those three guys make the team. You know, then you've got decent depth with guys behind them like Davenport, Rankin, even Chantrell Henderson, who I expect to start at right tackle. You know, you've got guys like that who now got experience. So they've got a lot of competition and a lot of guys that have actually played. And there's a big difference between having never played and having played. So the Texans were still able to win the division last year, still able to go to the playoffs despite their failings up front. And so I guess as a Texans fan, you know it will only be better than that, right? I mean, you either have different players in there that are better, or you would think that Davenport and those other guys will be able to perform at a higher level.
I completely agree, and I must admit, it's constantly so doom and gloom around the Texans at the moment with regards to that offensive line, so it's nice to hear some positives for a change. So how well do you think they did draft this year in Howard and Sharping?
Well, I've talked to people that said that they really liked Titus Howard, and that was the guy that they had identified, and that they liked him more than Andre Dillard, who the Eagles jumped in front of them one spot to take at 22. I'm not sure I really believe that, but I've been told that by people. Certainly, I felt like Andre Dillard was much more ready to play with his experience at Washington State and how polished he is as a pass protector. You know, Titus Howard's more of a project, and I just think that there's going to be a lot of pressure on a guy from the FCS, Alabama State, to play right away. I don't know if he'll be ready to go right away. They'll want to try to throw him in there. And I get nervous with a guy like that on such a big stage. And if he starts to struggle early, what that means for him from a confidence standpoint.
Absolutely. And of course, we've seen what can happen in terms of losing a confidence early on with someone like Julian Davenport. We've seen how he's slowly, I guess you could argue, regressed, unfortunately. Do you think they reached then for Howard and Sharping?
Well, I definitely think they reached for Howard, but that's one of the pitfalls of going into the draft with such a glaring need. I mean, you know, I think that they felt like it was a pretty good draft for offensive tackles. I think they felt like some of these guys would drop to them and that they'd have their pick between a few guys. And you could argue with Cody Ford and Jawan Taylor and Titus Howard that they did. But when you go into the draft with such a glaring, obvious need, you do kind of set up a flag whereby if a team wants a player, they're going to jump ahead of you because they think there's a decent chance that that's going to be the player that you want. And that's exactly what happened with the Texans and Andre Dillard. I still think he would have been a much better choice, much more ready to play, and certainly pass protect for Deshaun Watson's backside. So I think Howard is a project, and I think that they like his long-term upside. A lot of people did, but they might need a guy now, you know, and I think that's the problem is just the pressure to play him. Sharping was a guy I was really high on, probably doesn't have as high of a ceiling, but I do think he has a higher floor, so much experience, so bright, very technically sound, that I actually think he's got a pretty darn good chance to be able to play and play early. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Khalil shows that he can play. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Khalil and Chantrell start, but Sharping ends up becoming sort of the the swing guy as they develop Titus Howard.
Certainly, and I have to agree. I think that Sharping is, for me at least, he's the more polished of the two of them. So, do you, obviously, you mentioned this lack of, whilst some of these players have experience in college, they need more polished players now, so there's lack of NFL experience. Do you think they should have chased someone on the lines of a Trent Brown or a Roger Saffold on the line instead of, say, Matt Khalil, who's the only veteran they brought in?
Yeah, I think they probably did. I think that the money for the second year in a row, just like Nate Solder the year before, this year with Trent Brown, you know, it's a supply and demand thing. And there were a number of teams that really needed an offensive tackle. And the price just got so high that the Texans, with some of the contracts they've got coming up, including Clowney, Deshaun Watson, will, you know, need a new contract sooner rather than later. I think that they just thought the money for Trent Brown got too rich for them, just like it did for Solder the year before. And that's why they ultimately bowed out. So I think they tried. I just think the money was too much for them. They're taking a swing with Matt Khalil. I'm actually really surprised that Matt Khalil actually got decent money and some guaranteed money. I thought he was past that stage of his career for a bunch of different reasons. Certainly the health concerns, but also just, you know, the performance. But for him to get, you know, he got enough money that he's going to be on the roster, that's for sure. And they're really hoping that, you know, third time can be a charm for him, because both the Vikings and the Panthers were more than happy to move on from him when they did.
Certainly. And one of the players that the Texans brought in last season that I know they were quite high on at the time, who's coming back this year, obviously after a full year off, Sancho Henderson. How do you feel about him? Do you think he'll improve this line? Because he is certainly more experienced than the rookies.
Yes, and I think that's kind of what they chose to do, is just throw numbers at it, right? I mean, they've got the guys from last year. They drafted guys with the first two picks. They have Chantrell Henderson. They have Matt Khalil. And I think the hope is, you throw enough numbers at it, we're going to get a couple guys that are going to be able to play at the tackle positions in particular at a high enough level for us to get done what we want to get done. And so I like that. You know, Chantrell's always kind of been up and down, and there have been different reasons for that, but that goes back to college for him. You know, there have always been concerns about his consistency, concerns about his attention to detail and focus. I mean, there are moments where he looks as good as anybody, and then there are moments that are really highly, highly concerning, and you start to worry and wonder whether or not he's a guy you can count on. So they're going to hope that Mike Devlin, who I do think is a pretty good offensive line coach, is going to be able to get more out of Chantrell and really all of those guys. And I also think it would help them if they were able to get, you know, Deshaun Watson to get rid of the ball a little bit faster. I think he hurt them a number of times with some of the sacks he took. Now, the flip side is he avoids other sacks, which could have happened. So I think it probably evens out, you know, the pros and the cons of Deshaun Watson from a pass protection and hits on the quarterback and sack standpoint. I think it evens out, but ultimately, you know, you'd like to think in year three and his second full year as the starter that he would be able to play a little bit better and get the ball out of his hands a little bit quicker at times than he did last year.
Certainly, and I have to admit, one of the players that I'm particularly looking forward to seeing on that offensive line this year is Martinez Rankin, obviously second-year offensive lineman. He played at tackle and guard last year. I see him personally as a left guard. Do you think he has enough potential to upgrade this line? Do you think he could start?
I think he could potentially start inside, probably at left guard, but I think he could compete at either guard. And I thought even when he was coming out, that his body type was more suited to play inside. So I'm kind of with you on that in terms of that being a better fit for him. And I'm looking forward to seeing him compete inside, because he always had the body type where people said, yeah, tackle in college, but looks like a better fit probably to play inside at the next level.
Certainly. So here's my take on the potential starting. Obviously, we won't know for certain, but the potential starting line for the Texans come, let's say, week one, from left to right. So we're looking at, let's say, Sharping on the left with Rankin, Martin, Fulton and Howard. I know that obviously Howard might move to the left with Henderson at the right. Does this fill you with confidence, or at least more so than last year?
Well, I'd be very surprised if both rookies started. Very surprised. I think at least Chantrell Henderson or Khalil will step up and take one of those jobs, if not both. You know, they might ease both those rookies in slowly. And I also think, you know, we'll see if Rankin can beat out Kelamete. You know, I mean, Kelamete has done some good things in the league. He's played a lot of football at guard. He's played at tackle. You know, they signed him last year for a reason. And, you know, Rankin's going to have to show that he can beat him out. A lot of times there's a reason why Kelamete's played and Rankin really hasn't. So that would not give me a lot of confidence. The lineup you had, that's a little too much inexperience for my liking.
Fair enough. So obviously, I'm glad you mentioned Mike Devlin earlier. Everyone seems very caught up in criticizing O'Brien and formerly Rick Smith and now Brian Gain, obviously, for their issues the last few years in terms of bringing scouting players and bringing in free agents. Nobody seems to be giving a great deal of thought as to Mike Devlin's role in this. Do you think, how much of this do you think he should blame in terms of their poor performances should be on his shoulders?
Frankly, I don't think very much. I mean, they clearly have the worst personnel along the offensive line, and they have the last couple of years. They just haven't devoted very many resources to it until this year's draft. And also with what I mentioned about Deshaun's propensity to hold the ball, I think the entire offensive coaching staff could do a much better job of getting the ball out of his hands faster. So I would say not a whole lot. I mean, certainly some of it goes on the offensive line coach, but I'm not sure how much say he has in picking the personnel. And I'm not sure, you know, how much more you can really ask him to do based on what, you know, what the kind of cards that he's been dealt.
I'd have to agree. And I think these next 2 years are going to be key for Devlin because he's starting to get slightly higher quality players there potentially. So it's going to be an interesting couple of years from his point of view. I'm glad you mentioned the staff, obviously, around Deshaun Watson in particular. They've brought in Carl Smith from the Seahawks. How much of a difference do you think that's going to make in terms of Deshaun Watson's play and perhaps getting the ball out earlier?
You know, that's hard to say because I still think that this is ultimately Bill O'Brien's offense. And, you know, Deshaun Watson's strengths are his ability to extend the play. He throws a really nice ball. Being able to throw the ball to DeAndre Hopkins is a strength. And so I think a lot of it's on Deshaun and mentally in year three just realizing that get the ball out in space to your playmakers and don't always try to make that extended play. That's hard to do when you're as gifted as he is and when you make as many of those extended plays as he does. I mean, he's been doing that his whole life. He did it in high school. He did it in college. He's done it very, very successfully. And so I think it's hard for him to do that. But I do think that that's one area that as he gets older, as he progresses, he'll realize, you know what, there's nothing wrong with just throwing the check down. Nothing wrong with just getting the ball out quickly from time to time.
I'd have to agree. I think coming off of his first full season, I mean, a lot of people seem to forget that obviously his rookie year, he only played part of it because of injury. Coming off of a full season behind that line and with proper NFL experience now, he may be making some better decisions come 2019. I guess we can only hope at this point in time. So I like to throw my guests off slightly with the closing questions. Jonathan Joseph, Texans cornerback, he recently turned 35 and is still easily, I think, at least Houston's best cornerback. Other than Brady, who do you think is the best over 35-year-old in the league?
Ooh, that's a good question, especially with the Brady caveat. trying to think of everybody that would be in the running for that. I think, you know, It's hard to look past. Well, I would go Drew Brees. Does he count?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would go Drew Brees if he counts. But if we're talking non-quarterbacks, some of the guys that certainly come to mind for me are Larry Fitzgerald and Jason Peters, for sure.
Certainly.
You know, those are two guys. And I'd probably still go with Larry Fitzgerald because he's still so productive. You know, Peters has been in and out of the lineup. Fitzgerald's been so durable and still so productive, kind of changing and morphing his role. So I'll go with Larry Fitz.
Absolutely. And I think an honorable mention has to go to Adam Vinatieri, because I think he's just been so consistent. He's had a fantastic career, and I love seeing him over at the Colts. And then finally, we all love it when our defensive player gets moved on to offense. We've seen that with O'Brien and the Texans, with J.J. Watt moved over on occasion, although it hasn't happened so much recently. Who would you like most on your team to be able to bring over from defense to offense and have an impact? I've got three options here for you: J.J. Watt, Mike Vrabel, or the Refrigerator.
Oh man, Vrabel was so effective. I watched his stat; like he has 9 catches, all touchdowns.
Yeah,
and he's got such long arms; it's hard to go away from him. But if it's my team, I want to watch the fridge try to run people over. So I'm going with the fridge if it's my team, because I just enjoy watching him play. And as a lineman, I like to see a big guy run over the small guys.
I think they're definitely some of the best highlights from the 80s. I must admit, watching the fridge run over some linemen, it's just fantastic. Ross, thank you very much for joining me. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
Yeah, my pleasure. Anthony, thank you for having me. They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ross Tucker NFL. And I got a whole bunch of podcasts I've been doing for a while that I really enjoy. The Ross Tucker Football Podcast is kind of the flagship, but I also have, you know, if you're into fantasy football, the Fantasy Feast podcast. If you're into gambling, I've got the Even Money podcast. If you're into the draft, the College Draft podcast. They're all available at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts are found.
Excellent. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll definitely have to get you on at some point during the season to talk fantasy football.
Sounds great. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. I've been your host, Anthony Wood, once again. Follow me at AR_WoodNFL. And follow us, of course, at the Texans Wire. Thank you very much for listening.